Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. I want to say thank you this morning. Thank God for another beautiful day. Wonderful opportunity to get up. I look forward to my Saturday mornings, getting up and doing my preaching. Some people preach on Sundays, Saturday mornings. And it's an honor and pleasure to have you join us this morning. A beautiful day here in the Carolinas. Let me go to the switchboard and click there. There's so much going on today. Let's see. There we are. I hope everybody's excited and safe and blessed. We have an opportunity this morning. We have a guest that I'm excited about. Absolutely have inspired me. You all know that I'm not a big social media person, and I'm learning. But I've been inspired by this young lady and been watching her and learning from the way that she does marketing and the way that she's out there every day and giving a word and motivating and feeding the spirits of others. So it's just been a blessing for me to sit back and look into someone else's life and learn from them in order to be better at what I do. So you're going to be blessed today. We're going to share some things that is going to touch your heart, some things that is going to actually change the way you're thinking and the way that you are living your life. You know, sometimes it only takes one word. Don't have to preach, one word. And something can click in a person's spirit that can change them for the rest of their lives. So we're hoping that somewhere along the line, during this conversation that we're having this morning, that something is going to click in your spirit and you're going to have that aha moment like, wow. I didn't even think of that. See, there's no incidents, no accidents. You are where you're supposed to be right now. You're going to receive what God wants you to receive right now. He's putting his daughters together to deliver a message right now that's going to be a blessing to you. That's going to help you in your relationship with yourself, with your mother, your daughter, with your spouse, your friends, your coworkers, just your community. Before I get any further into this, our guest today is Patricia M. Goings. Let me say that right now. I know she's on the line. Patricia, we're going to get to you in a few seconds. Sit back and relax. And then we're going to pull you in. I try to do my due diligence this morning, as I do every Saturday morning. I always let them know that we're on and ask them to join us. Good morning. Introduce my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm fine, Dr. Fletcher. How are you? And good morning, audience. And good morning, Miss Patricia.
I am absolutely awesome.
Determined to be great.
Very good. That's a good word. Determined. And it's going to happen. Put some faith with that. Mix it all up. Those ingredients, it's going to happen. Let me get Deborah.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Deborah, our co-host.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. How's everybody? Praise the Lord. Good morning, Ms.
All
Patricia.
Right. Yes. She's not on, but I'm going to bring her on in just a moment. She's there. And we're going to bring her on, and then we all get a chance to talk back and forth with her. This morning, you know, Deborah, you want to get the prayer this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning, bringing us to another day where the sun is shining some places sun ain't quite so bright. But we thank you for the good, the bad, the difference. We thank you for life. We thank you for health, strength, and everything that you do. We ask that you will go in the midst of your people today to touch their heart, to soften their soul for the word that will be deposited. We ask that you will give us what we need so we can better assist your people, better help your people find deliverance and find peace, and more than anything, Lord, find you. We thank you for counting us faithful to do your will. We thank you for giving us what we need to carry out the message, to carry out the mission, to accomplish that thing which you sought your word to accomplish. You say your word will not come back to you void. We believe that all things are possible, Lord. We trust that you will have your way today. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you all the reverence, all the praise this day. Touch us, Lord. Move right now in a way that you never moved before. Touch those hurting hearts, Lord, those people that's dying, there's people hungry, Lord, that's worried, Lord, that's just bound by fear. Lord, get them a spirit of peace in the midst of a storm, Lord. We ask right now your word would just do what you do, Lord, because without you can't nothing happen. So we believe that we're going to see a change in this arena that we live in right now. We trust you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deborah. What a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Well, ladies, you know, on Saturday mornings we get up and we have our conversation. We talk about what happened last week, and we're going to talk about that, but I'm going to break that down and not spend that time this morning. We had a great week. I've talked to both of you, and we are blessed, highly favored in a lot of ways, in ways that, you know, we look back over our life and say, God, thank you, because nothing that we've done, you know, give us the right to say we deserve favor. His grace and mercy is just because he loves us. The young lady that I have on this morning, I met her simply by being on the show with her and Mr. Stout. They they have me on as a guest, and her show is, you know, On the Move, unscripted. And I like that. It's just natural. It reminded me of our radio show where, you know, we just come on. We don't write it down. I just let the Holy Spirit speak to me. I don't have to get up and run around what I'm going to say, what's going to happen, and plan, and don't sleep at night. No. Spirit, what do you want me to talk about today? Give me the title. I never get it to Saturday morning. I was doing the same thing this morning, thinking about Patricia and I said, you know, well, Lord, what do you want me to say? And he took me back to her bio. He just said, you know, he went right back to the bio. And it's like, mothers and daughters, nothing is impossible for God. And she also talks about faith. So with faith, that's, you all know, that's the core of my heart. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. And when I saw that, I said, wow. You know, it touched my spirit. I can't explain it. It just touched my spirit. So let me introduce you to our guest. She's Patricia M. Goings. She's She's the daughter. She's the mother. She's the author. She's the entertainer. She through acting, filmmaking, she made a film called Be Love. I've got to see that film. She also has a beautiful voice. I've tapped into some of her lives, and I mean, she's so into that music that when she sings and move her head around and kind of puck up her lips, and she gets all emotional and into it, and I'm watching her, and I'm going, wow, she, you know, she's promoting someone else. It's not her song. She's promoting someone else as if she's promoting her own. And she also is a recording artist, Living My Best Life songwriter. She's a producer and a host of podcasts. And it's a long line. I'm going to have her tell you exactly where to find her on social media, Instagram. And you can follow her and give her that love and support that she gives out to so many other people. But most importantly, Patricia M. Goings is a woman of God. I picked that up on the various conversations we've had. We're dealing with another project, Mothers and Daughter Global Movement, and she is a key to this, to unlocking the door that God is opening for us. And I'm not. I'm gonna read this last part, and then we're gonna talk to Patricia. She said, out of all the things that she's done, how was I able to overcome child abuse, domestic violence, divorce, homelessness, and still be so successful in the indie entertainment industry without any formal education or training? My favorite Bible quote is usually how I like to answer those questions. With faith in God, nothing is impossible. And that came from Luke 1:7. That in itself is a testimony if we don't have the show. Miss Patricia, if you could click one, I'm going to click you on. That in itself is a testimony. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. It doesn't matter about your education. It doesn't matter about how much money you have, your pedigree, or who do you think you are. That's why I like people. I like it simple. I don't pretend, whoever, if you like me the first time, you're always, I'm not here to impress you, because there's no more God for me than it is for you. We all equal opportunity. God is here for all of us. Good morning, our special guest, Ms. Patricia M. Goings. How are you?
I am fine. Oh, that made me feel so good. Thank you so much.
That's the way it's supposed to be. It's your truth. You know, I didn't make it up. You lived it, and are living it. And, you know, I have on here my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, and you met Cynthia on one of the interviews that we were on. And
yeah, hello, Miss Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, yourself.
I'm awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And then I want to introduce you to my other co-host, Deborah Tyler.
Nice to meet you, Miss
Deborah. Good morning, Miss Patricia. Glad you can join us.
Good morning.
How are you?
Thank you. I am doing good. I'm sitting on my balcony listening to the birds chirping. That prayer that y'all did just touched my spirit. So,
wow.
It's a good morning.
Wow, that's good. I am so excited that God connected our lives. And I know one thing that you constantly say to me, and I get it, and I put it in perspective. You know, when we were talking about the meeting with the 200 mothers and daughters, and you said, yeah, but that was Mr. Stout. Mr. Stout was the promoter behind that. And so I always try to say thank you to Mr. Stout, because I know we started out, me, you, and him, on that radio program, that interview, and he's back there pushing and helping women just to move forward. And I just want to say good morning, Mr. Stout. You know, if you're listening, I'm sure you are. And we're going to get into what God wants us to talk about today. As I looked over your resume, I know you're an impressive woman. That wasn't surprising to me. But when I looked at your resume and look at all the things that you're doing, you know, I'm thinking to myself, and even my spirit was like, you know, there's so much I can learn from you. So much this ministry needs to grow to and at this point in time, that God always send you what you need. But today God is sending you to bless mothers and daughters around the world. And I'm having some background problems. I don't know if it's your outside. Can't hardly hear.
Okay, well, let me go inside.
Yeah. I know God is blessing you to be a blessing. So tell us a little bit about we're going to start with the things that you do, and then we're going to come back and end it with who you are as a daughter, who you are as a mother, and who you are as a woman today. Tell us a little bit about your entertainment life, how you got started, and what drove you into that direction.
Okay. So I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio, born and raised. After I separated from my husband, I was pregnant, and I had two small children, and I had never done anything creative, nothing creative. I was a nurse by trade, so I had worked nursing for like 10 years straight. But I always knew I loved the creative type stuff. Like, I just loved books, reading, all that kind of stuff. So, but at that time in Columbus, Ohio, that was not celebrated. That was not recognized. You know, Columbus is a very conservative town, or it was at that time. It's starting to change now, but it was very conservative. It was all about going to your 9-to-5, coming home, taking care of your family. That's that. So when me and my ex-husband separated, I knew I couldn't take Columbus anymore. Like, my spirit was just, but I had never left on my own. My spirit was vexed, but I had never left on my own. I went to college, but you know, when you're in college, you're in a dorm, and the college is taken care of. I had been in the military, but as you know, when you go to the military takes care of it. But I had never left Columbus on my own. I had been hearing about Atlanta. Everybody, at that point, everybody was thinking about Atlanta, whatever. When things got really bad, a friend of mine in Cleveland said, "You can come stay with me." I had never did that before. I was pregnant. I was just like, you know what? I can't go back to my ex-husband because I'm not about to go through that abuse. Let me go check out my friend. So I drove to Cleveland, Ohio, two kids and pregnant. But when I got there, the family couldn't take my daughter because my daughter used to scream like, ooh, she's a weapon. She used to scream, Lord Jesus. And so they couldn't take it. So I ended up experiencing going to the shelter because it was either go to the shelter or go back to my ex-husband, and I didn't want to do that. So I went to the Salvation Army, 30-day shelter. And when them 30 days was up, they was like, okay, you can only stay, you only get 30 days. Like, what are you going to do? My ex-husband at that point was like, come on back. I was like, mm-mm. Because I knew what would happen if I went back. And I was just like, I can't do that. So then I started looking at Atlanta, and I started telling the ladies at the shelter, you know what? I'm going to go to Atlanta. They looked at me like, are you serious? Are you crazy? Like, you're going to leave and go to Atlanta, like, for real, for real? I'm like, yeah. They're like, you're not going to be able to make it. You pregnant, got two kids, you ain't got no money, you don't got this, so you're not going to be able to make it. But I had been, right before me and my ex-husband separated, I had gotten baptized that year, that December. And so the word faith, I didn't understand faith. I wanted to understand, what is faith? This is what I was learning at church. Like, what, bro? You know, I'm reading with faith, nothing's impossible. I didn't really understand it. So before we separated, I asked God. I said, God, show me faith. What is faith? I need to understand faith. I don't understand it. So let me understand faith. Show me what faith really means. So at that point, I was at a crossroad when I was in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Salvation Army. It was either go back to Ohio or go to Atlanta. And so I remember in Malachi 3:10, it says, test me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out more than you will be able to receive. So I said, all right, God, I'm going to test you. because I want to understand what the faith thing is anyway, and I can't go back to that. I will die spiritually on the inside if I go back to that marriage or go back to that situation, go back. I can't do it. So I took a step away, and I left, drove me and my kids. Mm-hmm. I had a list of shelters, and I just said I had $200 worth of food stamps because at that time it was paper, and I had about $200 in cash. Everything I owned was already in my car, so we left. And it was a roller coaster ride of experiences. It really was. It wasn't easy, but every time I needed something, it would just pop up. And then I ended up getting into church, and for the very first time, I had never sung in front of people before. But in church, they was like, come on, let's join the choir. I joined the choir, and when I sung, everybody's mouth dropped. And I'm looking at them because I'd always gotten that look. Every time I was singing, people would look at me like their mouth would drop. But I didn't understand what it was. I thought I was singing bad. But they was like, oh, you sound good. So, and that's where the journey started. It started from, because I ended up in a domestic violence shelter called Safe Haven. And Safe Haven had a church. And it was in that church that I began to sing. It was in that church that I began to write. It was in that ministry, in that Safe Haven transitional program that I wrote the first, that wrote the books. Everything came out of me in the darkest time of my life. And that was the beginning of my journey here in Atlanta, or in Atlanta, and that journey of writing books, writing movies, singing, performing. I ended up, Mr. Hankey, and I do want to clarify this, I did not write Living My Best Life, but he is the producer of that song. The song he did for me was called Superwoman. And Superwoman, I was able to perform that song all over the country. But all this stuff came from that step of faith, that Malachi 3:10, that showed me, like, show me what faith is. And so God took me on a 20-year journey from Atlanta to Chicago, back to Atlanta, to make this film, all the stuff that happened in between. It was a 20-year journey. When it was time to come back home, I didn't want to come. I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to come back to Columbus, Ohio. Like, God, are you serious? Like, you want me to come back here? Like, I don't want to go back here. So when he told me to come back to Ohio, in 2018, I didn't want to go. I didn't go. I ended up coming back to Atlanta. I didn't want to be around my family. I didn't want to be around nothing that had to do with nothing. I was probably maybe depressed, angry on the inside. I didn't want to be around my mom, my sisters, my grandma. I didn't want to come back to Ohio at all. But that year that I did not go back, God had told me to return to Columbus July 18th. And I came back, but then I left again. Because I had went through I was upset with my family. I was, my mom, my sister, I was just mad at everybody. Nothing was going right that trip. And so I was like, I was supposed to stay for the summer and ended up only staying for the week. I got on the road to go back to Atlanta. Because God had already told me I was supposed to be living in Columbus by this time. Went back to Atlanta. Went through a storm getting back to Atlanta, the worst hailstorm ever. Got back to Atlanta. The month after I got back, my car was stolen. My daughter came down with lupus. I ended up losing my sister. I ended up losing my job. I went through so much that by the time I went through a whole year that I was running back to Columbus, buddy. And that's when I understood, like, your season is done. Like, you did what you were supposed to do. That was your wilderness. That was your training experience. But when God says, this is your next phase, kind of like he fed me, he took care of me while I was in that place. But when God says it's time to leave, it's time to leave. When he speaks to your spirit and says it's time to do something, it's time to do something. You can't not do it because obedience is greater than sacrifice. I did not do what I knew he told me to do, and I suffered for a whole year until I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what brought me back here.
That's what God will do. You know, what a wonderful story. I'm sitting here, and I know Cynthia and Deborah both, we're just relating to this. But I wanted to share, as you were talking, that's my story, 2013. When God asked me, told me to go back to North Carolina, I'm like, Lord, I already got a business in Florida. I got all this stuff set up. What do you mean go back to North Carolina? You took me from North Carolina when I thought I was happy there. Then you send me here, and I got cops here. You want me to go back? But then he reminds you of Abraham. husbands are something, aren't they, Patricia? They are something. Mothers and daughters, if you don't hear nothing else, if God placed on your heart to do something, you might as well go on and do it, because I'm telling you, it's not going to work well for you. That's what I told the ladies coming out of prison. It's not going to work well for you. So thank you for sharing that part of it. Now we got the background of how God worked in your life and how you figured out what faith really was. And then from that, you're back in Ohio. How's it working for you now?
Actually, when I came back, it was my mother. My mother was going through surgery. So I have to do, in order to explain the mother-daughter situation, I have to give the background. I didn't grow up with my mother. My mother and father were divorced when I was probably about 2 years old, and I ended up living with my father's family. And from there, my father and his wife, which she was very abusive. I never knew that my mother was my mother. I didn't know I thought my stepmother was my mother. It wasn't until Christmas Day when my stepmother didn't buy me anything, any gifts for Christmas, and it had been abusive. It was just crazy. And my father, God put it in my father's heart to take me to my grandmother's house. And when they took me to my grandmother's house and they saw the condition I was in, and the bruises over my body and stuff, they never let me go back. And it was at that point that I found out that that the lady who had been abusing me all those years was not even my mother, that my real mother was another lady. And so at probably about the age of 9 or 10, I met my real mother. And once I met her, the connection was not immediate because there was a lot of family situations going on, my father's side, whatever, and maybe some stuff that happened way before I was born between them, and they still had animosity. I don't know what the situation is. But I didn't really get to really be around her until at 18 I started going to her. So I had never lived with my mother, ever, that I remember. So when I came back in 2019, my mother was having surgery. And because she was having surgery, she didn't have to move out of place or whatever. Me and my brother and we all moved in together with my mother. I had never lived with my mother in my life until that point. And so it was deep because now they let me understand why I had to come back when I came back, because that was my opportunity to experience what I had missed out on as a child. So it's been great. And everything I've needed, everything, I know there's a pandemic going on. I know there's a crisis going on. But I promise you, I have not experienced it within my life. Like, everything that I've needed has been here, and I know it's because I was obedient and finally did what he told me to do back in 2018 and 2014, because he had been telling me, but I just didn't want to come back. But everything that you hear, like when they were saying, oh, there's no toilet, there's no that, no this, no that, no that. Every time I went to the store, everything I needed was there. When it was money, whenever I needed money, whatever, it was there. Like, always, like, I have not experienced what I hear a lot of people experiencing because of COVID-19. And I know it's because of the grace of God and because I was obedient.
Amen. Wow.
Yeah. And to put one last thing on that, when I came back, I was so worried because, remember, Columbus was not an entertainment city. But I have been doing nothing but entertainment for 20 years. So when I came back, God told me, he said, nothing is going to stop because you're here, and it has. So obedience is greater than sacrifice.
Yes, ma'am. You know, you say it quite often. I say it quite often. There's no accidents with God. I'm sitting here, we all sitting here listening to your story. And I'm not going to tell Cynthia's story. She's going to share her own. But your life is a mirror to us. It's a mirror. All three of us. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay, what is this? What is this? I mean, I'm amazed as you're talking. I knew when I was on the radio show with you and Mr. Stout, I knew it was a special connection. You knew it too. And Mr. Stout.
You know what Mr. Stout told me? Mr. Stout said, Patricia, he was like, he was really excited about the interview because it came through his contact or whatever, his PR or whoever he deals with. And he was so excited about interviewing me. And then after the interview, he was even more excited about knowing that you were going to come on Move Unscripted. And he told me, he said, Patricia, that's going to be the beginning of something. He was like, there's something powerful that's going to happen with that meeting with you and the ladies, you know, for Dr. Bessie Fletcher. He said that before you ever came on. So
wow.
when you planted that seed about the 200, I knew then. You may not have formulated it every aspect, but life was given on that night.
Mm,
I definitely believe.
My Lord. My Lord. Because I don't want to come out, but I have to because the Holy Spirit is telling me to say it. God told me about those 200 women years ago when we wrote that whole program in 2011. And I couldn't figure out why he had us to write it. I mean, I'm talking about pages and pages. Everything is done. Every step to be taken is done. And I rest on it. And I keep saying, Lord, what you have us do all that for? And one day, Cynthia and I was going to pick up the lunch for the ladies when we was working on the project. And I told Cynthia, I said, God said, until I get those 200 women, that's when this ministry is going to take off. That was 2011. But he never said anything to it back on it. He started talking to me a little bit about it, and I pulled the book out, look at it, you know, off and on for the last 6-7 months. And then when I was on that radio show, all of a sudden God spoke, and I was like, oh, she's the one. But I didn't want to say that because I'm like, okay, how do I say this? She don't even know me. She's the one. See, he's prepared you. He prepared all of us to meet at this point in time, and he showed it through Mr. Stout. And if we obedient,
wow,
he's going to get all this glory. And I'm definitely not stopping. You know, we haven't gotten a lot of applications sent back in and stuff, but I said, okay, God, I'm keep going. You keep going. But what I want to do is get back to you this morning in the obedience that you play. You have done some things for Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries, and I watch you, and God has shown me every time you're on here, tell me, listen to this, listen to that. But he said, have her on as your guest. Normally we just get on and I just talk because, you know, I always say it's so hard. I started out trying to get guests, and I could never really try to figure out who's going to be on the next week and all that. And the Lord just had me to minister every Saturday morning. That's what we do. But he said, no, call Trish and have her be on your show because he knew what he was going to do today. And I'm excited that you're here because you are a big part of what he's showing us all to do. So let's get back to, I want to bring Cynthia on at this moment. Cynthia, what did Ms. Going say that touched your life and was a mirror?
Well, she said a couple of things, but the most prevalent thing we have in common is the fact that I wasn't raised by my mother. I didn't meet my mother until I was 13. Didn't come back to know anything about my mother until my 20s. And so it was definitely a mirror to my life. That right there, you know, was the touching point. But she said some things about obedience. One thing I wrote down was,
Before you get to obedience, you're missing a key element that I wanted you to bring out, and I want to bring this out. The fact that she said that she thought someone else was her mother.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, that part as well. I had thought my aunt was my mother for up until the age of 5. And then I was being raised by my grandmother when my brother took me to this house in Fort Lauderdale when I was 13. And when the lady opened, when my mother opened the door, I didn't know who she was, but I knew who she was in spirit. And then he introduced her as our mom. And so, yeah, we have definitely that in common. Absolutely.
Go ahead, make your point, then I'll. Yeah, and
it is. It's interesting. It's interesting. And like you said, there's no coincidence. Yeah.
Go ahead. You had a couple other points, Cynthia.
Just the fact that, you know, and the fact that she said so many things that was so prevalent.
No,
She was a nurse for 13 and a half, for 10 years. I was radiology for 13 and a half years. She just kept going, and I typed down so much about what we have in common. We have a lot in common, a lot. But that was the thing that stuck out for me the most, the fact that she didn't meet her mom until a certain age and thinking somebody else was her mom. Absolutely. We definitely mirror that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Cynthia. Yeah, that's what when she said that, my mouth went wide open. I was like, okay, God.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So you see how this thing is woven together, Patricia? It just, you know, when you
always,
started talking about. Go ahead.
I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe in accidents. When we did that interview with you and you talked about mothers and daughters and you looked at me on that and you like was reading me without me ever saying words, that you knew that there was something deep about the mother daughter topic that touched me. That was enough for me. Like I felt it in my spirit, but I definitely knew it by the time you came on my show and then when we started the mother-daughter movement. So I know I'm supposed to be a part of this. Like, there's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. There's no, is this what you really want me to do type thing about it. Like, I know in my spirit, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to assist you just like so many people have assisted me. I would have never been able to do that movie, This Can't Be Love, without the assistance of all those actors who stayed on for 7 years. They stayed on. It took us 10 years to do that movie all together.
What?
From beginning to till I actually released it. It took 10 years. I went through so many things, so many trials and tribulations, so many things that most people would have quit. But I said, God, this is the one time that I want to start something, that I want to see it through to completion, because I know you gave me this. This is not something that I was able to do on my own before I ever put pen to paper for the book. I prayed and I asked God, help me to write a story that's going to touch people and help me turn it into a movie. That was my prayer before I ever put pen to paper. So I knew this was something I needed to complete. However, there was some grooming and growing and shaping that God had to do in my life before it could be done. I was in an abusive relationship at the time when I was writing it. So God was not going to allow me to complete and put that movie out while I was still in bondage. I had to get out of that relationship. And so I just went through so much in those 10 years, God knows, but I never, ever, 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 ever quit. I refused to quit. So I just know I'm supposed to be a part of this. I know this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to assist you, just like he allowed all those people to assist me so that I could get my story out, so I could help save a child, so I could encourage a woman to go to a domestic violence shelter versus being in an abusive relationship. Like, I know those people supported my vision. And so God has placed me in your life so that I can do for you what was done for me. Given it shall be given unto
you.
This man's trust down, taken together, and rolling over.
My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, girl. And when I listened to your story and I thought about God telling me to close down the office, go back to North Carolina, he said, and take care of your dad. But, Lord, how am I going to close down the office? I have clients. He said, close it down. Eventually, after a couple of months, I had nobody. I was just in the office sitting there every day with nothing to do. He said, I told you to go home. So I closed everything down, didn't know what to do, didn't know what to tell Cynthia. Didn't know. I just thought she thought I was abandoning her. I was just so nervous and upset. But I had to do what he told me to do, and I came back here, and he had the place picked out for me. I mean, everything. No one lived here before I lived here. You know, everything was just laid out. But I had 9 beautiful months with my dad before he left. And I thank God. And I thank myself for being obedient. Because I got to, you know, I'm here back. I'm an only child, so I was always constantly back every other month, or, you know, with daddy and what have you. But it wasn't that. it was the fact that he wanted me to spend those times because he knew he was going to be coming home, and he knew how close we were. And my mother's been gone. So when you said all of that, and I'm looking, I said, boy, he's got our story so mirrored that we know that it's God without a shadow of a doubt. Deborah, do you want to chime in at this moment? You have something you would like to share with Ms. Patricia?
Yes, I'm just so full. And I just want to thank you for being obedient to the calling of God to be part of this great movement of mothers and daughters. I just want to thank you first by saying that. And I was looking at your profile, you know, peeping at some stuff. They call it peeping when you're scrolling and you don't make no comments, but I didn't have time. I said, she's no need, so I'm just peeping right now. But I'm going to hit that prayer request. And I tell you, I was looking at all the books laid out. I said, I'm just trying to get to one book. And it inspired me to say, go ahead and finish. You started and you ain't wrote in a week, and you know, everywhere I turn, put it this way, somebody's telling me something about a book. Somebody's asking me to write something. And I'm saying, Lord, I get it. But I just want to thank you for being transparent and being able to tell another story so God can get the glory, you know, because it ain't easy talking about things that's not pretty, you know, and some people don't understand. You know, even in my family, they, you're not up with it, but, you know, whatever happens, wherever it happens, you don't need to talk about it. It's ugly, you know. But I tell them, I said, I was allowed to see God move in my life, you know, being sent to prison at 13. In my story, I won't go into it much, but, you know, I left my mom at 13. And ended up going to prison for life and 25 mandatory. And when I got out, after God performed a miracle and let me out way before my time, I went back to my mom. So at 33, after the world beat me up, knocked me down, and I'd been involved in a homicide and a whole lot of other crazy stuff that you know, mom didn't raise me to know or to do. But I got back to my mom. I was 33, and we stayed about a year. So, and then I moved out, and, you know, we've been working on a relationship ever since, you know, and thank God that he's restored and he's repaired and he's forgiven. And, you know, we have a better relationship in Christ as adults. And so I tell the story about me going to prison at 17 and you know, spending 15 meals in there. I tell the story because I want people to know that you got to be careful of the company you keep. You got to be mindful of drugs and things that alter your perception and your mentality and the way that you act under the influence, you know. And so my message is to people is, you know, listen to your mom. Pay attention to what she say. Don't be so fast to be grown. Don't rush to get grown. Don't be in a hurry because life got something for you. Them streets ain't no joke. They'll teach you. You're going to either learn in the house or somebody that knows they've been there, or you're going to learn the hard way. And so my message is trying to let them learn. I've did it all, you know. I've did it all, and you can learn from my story. So I just thank you, like I said, for being transparent to let people know that some ugly things happened, but God brought you through, and it made you a better person. And you got a whole lot to offer in a lot of different categories, and I just pray that God will keep you around so we can learn a page or two from your book. Thank you for letting me share. God bless you.
Wow, thank you.
Well, this is the way we do it on Saturday mornings, you know, and I tell them, I said, when it goes out, the Holy Spirit delivers the message wherever it's supposed to land. But when we come, we just allow the Holy Spirit to share. And mothers and daughters, you out there, I know this is touching somebody's heart. It has to, because there's, I mean, all of our lives pretty much are similar in some way. If no more than we are daughters who became mothers, or daughters who are nurturing somebody in a motherly state. We all come from a mother, and we all came from God. And God has a vision for his life, his journey here on earth, and he's going to do it through us, whether we agree or not. If we don't agree, he's going to get somebody else to do it. It's like he told me, Bessie, if you don't do what I asked you to do, then I'll just get somebody else. And I was like, whoa, okay, I'm ready, I'm doing it. You know, I tell people a long time ago I would do a little bit of God and a lot of me, you know, thinking that and I'm doing God's what God's asked me to do, but it was more my ideas instead of really sitting down and listening. But when I got to that point of a good little spanking, I said, okay, God. When I fell on my knees, I think this was like probably 2012, somewhere along then, when he told me the same thing he told you, Patricia, you know, until you get out of this relationship, until you do what I told you to do, I can't bless you because he will be blessed. I was like, oh, my God. So, you know, we have to listen. And plus, he told me not to marry him anyway. You know, so God was like, you didn't listen. That's why I don't do anything but mothers and daughters. That's why I just stay straight on my narrow path. It gets lonely sometimes, but God will send people into my life. I thank God every Saturday morning. Cynthia and Deborah, they come, they sit at the table with me. We talk to mothers and daughters. We do what we do, and we along the way. And I thank God for my daughter. And now he's sending a whole new group of women. Just like he said, he told me, he said, I will send the people to help you. You went through 20 years, Patricia. I just went through 20 years of mothers and daughters in September. And God said to me, you know, the 29th of this month, you would have done 20 years in mothers and daughters. I was like, wow, I didn't even think about it, God. He said, yeah. He said, I'm getting ready to open up the windows of heaven because you've been obedient. You followed through, you know. He knows that I'm doing the very best that I can. And if I skip, hit my toe, I'm quick to repent. So now is the time with the coronavirus going around. God sent everybody home. He sent them home for a reason. Now is the time he's looking for us to filtrate those families. They have time to listen now. And we got to move, and we got to move quick. That's what comes in my spirit.
Amen.
So I just want to thank you. What would you say to a mother and daughter this morning? I want to you know, recognize your mother this morning and your daughter, your sisters, you know, just your family, because you are a beacon of light. Regardless of what happened, they've seen the Joseph spirit in you. They've seen the Esther. Seeing the roof, you know, that no matter what life throws at you, you pop right back up through faith. And people have to say, my God, how does she do that? What? I remember when she was moving around with those kids from shelter to shelter, nowhere to go, looking and acting crazy, and then God done, she done what, a movie? No book? Patricia? Yeah, Patricia. It's a journey to travel. Wouldn't you say, Patricia?
Yes. Yes.
It is a journey. And most people.
It was not an easy journey either. It wasn't, people think, oh, you know, because I pray, you know, I'm not going to have to go through anything. Or they may ask, why am I going through this if I pray? But, you know, just like a diamond, you have to be shaped. You have to be. You know, he has to bring out of you what's there. And I just want, for some reason, God has put this in my spirit, so I just want to say, a lot of people might be like, I always hear people saying, God told me, God told me. How do they know God told them? But God said, my sheep know my voice. So
come
when
on
you
now.
Hear your inner spirit, you know, that your conscience, your higher self, or whatever you want, your intuition, whatever you want to call it, When that pull is there, you know
mm-hmm.
whether you
mm-hmm.
want to recognize
mm-hmm.
or not, you
mm-hmm.
know God is speaking to you. If God has told you something in your spirit over and over again, and you know that's something you want to do, but you don't want to do it, that, you know, that's just you ignoring what the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Like, the Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. That thought, that little voice within, that whatever you want to call it, you know, you'll know when God is leading you. You'll know when God is speaking to your spirit. Your only job is to trust him, have faith, and be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that, I just want to say that because a lot of people may not understand when we say God told us.
You know, people say that to me all the time. I had a lady really got a little upset with me, and she said, "You know what? You're always talking about God told you. How is it that God's always telling you stuff and he never tell me anything?" I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Why he don't tell you anything? I know why he tell me, because I have a relationship with him, and I talk to him. I've been talking to him since I was 5. But at that time, I used to say something told me, because I didn't know as a child it was God. I just said, I tell my mother something. I said, 'Mother, you know something told me so-and-so-and-so, and it would happen. Mother, do you know something told me so-and-so-and-so, and it would happen.' I knew God had a call on my life. I knew that. So, you know, when people say that to me, I don't have a problem with telling them, I don't know, but if you talk to God and you listen, you hear him, but you got to first develop that relationship. And even with interviews, they'll say to me, 'Well, how did you get started with mother and daughter?' Major interviews, and I'm like, God asked me to do it. I know that, but I mean, really, was it something going on with you and your mother? Because they don't want to accept the fact that when I tell them, God called me to do this. God called me to do this. They want you to say something else, and I refuse to do that. Put on whatever you want. I'm going to tell you what happened. This is what happened. I'm not going to deny God. I'm going to do what he told me to do, and you write it the way you want to write it." So they don't understand that, because Satan has more of a conversation in their ear. They're listening more to Satan than they're listening to God. But as for me and my house, they can say, "Well, we're going to serve the Lord." So I'm going to give you the last few minutes just to say whatever you want to say. Tell us about where you are, what you're doing, how can people find you, what projects are you working on, that anything that we can help you do. We are here to help serve you as well. And when I say we, I'm speaking of Cynthia and Deborah. We are all a team. You know, help us help you and help us, if that makes sense. That's my little joke. But tell us about Patricia that the audience need to know and what you're doing, because you're constantly out there in the media. If they're on Facebook at all, they should have seen you.
Yeah, I scroll up and down Facebook like a virus. So I actually have a couple of websites. I've written 7 books. Three of them were part of a 3-book series, which I did the movie. So the first book is This Can't Be Love, which the movie was done from. The second one is The Love House, which came from still part of that series. And the last one is Ladies Delight. So the first one is the story of the young girl growing up and what she went through. The second one is the story of the domestic violence shelter that she was in, The Love House. And then the third one is her children and what they go through. They get into the industry and the abuse and things that happen in the industry and how they're able to get through it. That was the 3-book series. Then I wrote a book called Are You Ready to Open Your Gifts from God? And I did that when I was in Chicago on 102.3 FM during that time. And then I wrote another book, 2 other books, which are completely different. One's called Swingers. And I know it sounds crazy, but that is a ministry within itself about a husband and wife and all that they go through, and only the love that they have. And then the last book was The Symbol, which came to me in a dream. And it's crazy because that dream was so vivid. A minister, actually, at Safe Haven, kept telling me, "God said he's going to give you a book in a dream." She kept, every time I would go back for the little counseling session at Safe Haven, she would ask me, "Have you had a dream yet?" And I was like, "No, I didn't have any dream." But one night I did. It was so vivid. It was so, like, crazy that I woke up out of a dream and immediately started writing, and that's how the book The Symbol came. And then the movie, of course, This Can't Be Love, took us 10 years. You can actually look at it on YouTube. It's free. And it's crazy because people was like, "Why are you doing that for free? Why are you doing that for free?" But that's what God told me. I'm supposed to release it and let him have his way. I remember once I finally actually did the book, I finished the movie, and I was just crying because I had went through so much to complete it. And I just cried, and I just had a vision of God, Jesus, just coming to me and telling me, now that you've done all you can do, give it to me. And so once I released it, I put it on YouTube, and I just said, let your will be done with that. So you can actually look to find This Can Be Love on YouTube if you put This Can Be Love and then Patricia Goins. And then I have a website, patriciagoinsbooks.com. You can get my books. You can get my everything. It's Patricia, P-A-T-R-I-C-I-A, Goins, G-O-I-N-S, books, B-O-O-K-S.com. And then I have another website, Patricia Marie Goins, where you can listen to all the old shows of On the Move Unscripted and 24-hour music. And on Sundays, we do a marathon of nothing but gospel music all Sunday, all day long. And you can also get it on as an app on iTunes or Google Play. And then, of course, On the Move Unscripted comes on 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, 8 p.m., we do it live on blogtalkradio.com/Patricia Goins. We do it live. And then once we do it live, it goes out to iHeartRadio and to Podbean and Spreaker.com and all of the whole bunch of different Spotify, all kinds of places. So, and Mr. Stout is my host on Tuesdays. That's when we do interviews, which is when we do Juice, Dr. Fletcher. And on Mondays, I have a comedian I do it with. And on Thursdays, it's me and a group of ladies. So I am always moving and moving. But what I'm most excited about is helping you with this mother and daughter movement, because I know it's important. I know, like you said, God is bringing people back to the center core of what they need to be. And he's healing relationships. He's ending generational curses. He's bringing back the family, because at this point, all you really have is your family. So I'm excited to assist you with whatever you need at this point. And I just want to challenge every mother and daughter who's listening right now. If you're listening right now or you listen later and you feel moved and you know that you have that leadership ability, you know you have the ability to collect the masses of ladies, then join the movement. Do something that's outside of just yourself. Don't focus on just you. Focus on how you can be a blessing to others, and then God will bless you. Give. You know, giving is not always just monetary. You know, giving is giving of yourself, giving of your time, doing anything that's going to glorify God. So when you give, no matter what you give, your time, your talents, or whatever, it's something that's going to be a blessing to others, you're going to be blessed by it. So, you know, I would just challenge that. And then mothers and daughters, you know, you got to be able to communicate with each other. And this was the perfect opportunity to build those bonds or reestablish those bonds or make those bonds stronger. So I'm excited about your movement. I'm excited about being a part of this. I thank you for allowing me to even come on your show. And I just pray that we all can just make this be what God, the vision that God gave to you, because I see big things. I see big, big things. I see this different cities. I can see the vision without even knowing all of the vision. So I'm excited.
Wow. I'm almost speechless. I really don't know. They say, if you don't know what to say, just be still. That's all I can say. I want to cry, I'm trying not to.
I did want to say they can follow me on Instagram. So follow me on Instagram by going to Patricia Marie Goins on Instagram. Or you can follow me on Facebook by going to Patricia M. Goins. And I have a lot of different groups, the Atlanta Music Industry Group, Around the World Media, you know, and just all the different things that God has blessed me with over these last 20 years. So that's how you can follow me.
Well, 20 years seemed to be the movement, and 20 years seemed to be, was 20 years for Joseph. It was 20 years. I remember when God said it was 20 years for me, and I heard you say it's 20 years, and I thought about Joyce Myers, and she was questioning God, and she said, God, it's 20 years. Now, what are you going to do? So that's when God opened up doors. It wasn't until after 20 years God started opening up doors, and I tell you, I've been actually working more in this house than I have in the last year that I've worked in the last 3 months. It's just been, I can't believe it. From the moment I woke up to the 1 o'clock going to bed, it's just I don't even have time to even sometimes have lunch. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Because God is moving. I can feel it. I can. It's just pushing me and pushing me and pushing me. So I will be getting in contact with you later on. I'll let you rest this weekend on Monday, and then I want to have another conversation with you. But before you go, I want the ladies to be able to say goodbye to you, and I want for today, and thank you for being our guest. It is an honor and a pleasure for me. I recognize God when I see him, and I recognize him in you. So that's about as great of an honor I can give you. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, and I did send in my application. I did email it. I said I'm not going to do the show and not email my application because, you know, that's my assignment at this time.
Okay. Very good. I'll go and check that too. Cynthia and Deborah, do y'all want to get some closing remarks?
Right, yes.
We already off, but we're in the last few minutes. Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to say, and just to bring this whole thing full circle, it all started, Miss Patricia, with the word Deborah used at the beginning, change. When you had the change didn't start from the situation. The change started with your perspective. When you got the right perspective, you started moving, it happened. Thank you for allowing me to share, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Deborah, you have anything you want to say before we leave?
Yes, I just want to say that on my voicemail, I have that saying, there's nothing impossible with God. And I believe that God is going to do great and mighty things through us, to us, with us, and for us. And continue to trust God, because right now I'm looking at this picture that's been on my wall 8 years since I've been living here, and it says faith. I see it every day. Without faith, you cannot please God. And I just was so inspired when I heard you saying all the stuff you went through and God brought you through the impossible. Keep praising God. Keep lifting him up. Keep letting God guide your life. And I pray that he bless you in ways that you can't even imagine. Thank you for coming on the show. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Thank
you. Wow. I just want to say thank you. We love you. I hate the show is ended. But we'll talk, and I'll call you next week, okay?
All righty. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.
Hold 1 second. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
I do want you all to pray for me today. I am a couple of clients of mine that are getting married today at 5 o'clock, and I'm officiating the wedding. This is my first wedding. So pray for me. They wouldn't accept nothing. They wouldn't accept a no. So I said, okay, God, you want me to move in this arena? All these years I've been a licensed and ordained. I've never done a wedding, and today is my first official wedding at 5 o'clock. So keep me in prayer that I remember everything I'm supposed to do, and I ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. Stepping out into a new arena.
Amen.
I love you guys.
Amen.
Love you too.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Thank
bye,
you,
Miss
Patricia. Bye-bye. Love you guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, Patricia. Bye, audience.
Bye-bye, audience.
Bye-bye.